a special episode of the West Life Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. Follow us at West Life Pod on Twitter and Instagram and facebook.com/West Life Pod. Something different this week. I thought with the very poor performance by the boys last weekend and basically our season being over, I thought I'd get some fan reactions, and I've got a couple of good ones. First up tonight is a good friend of mine, Rob Bashara, and we have a good lengthy chat about where we think the club is going wrong. Well, Rob basically lays it all on the line where he thinks the club's going wrong. This entire episode is Rob going full swing at everything West Tigers. So enjoy the episode. Here's my chat with Rob.
Yeah, another year of mediocrity. Rob, you got any ideas on how the club should go forward?
Oh, look, I'm very opinionated with, as you know from Twitter, about what should happen and what I should, what I think has been wrong for quite a while. And I think the problem with our club is we haven't learned from our mistakes. So we just keep making the same errors all the time, and we've created a vicious cycle. It gets to a point now, we keep, Pasco and his cronies say we can't attract players. So we pay these ridiculous prices for guys that actually don't do the job.
Have they said that?
Justin has said that to me personally. And it's pretty disappointing. He said, we're the West Tigers, we have to pay overs to get players. He said that to me in a meeting. I actually introduced a sponsor to him back when we had the actual day we had the deadline for Woods and Tedesco signing with the club. I'd actually pre-arranged a meeting from like 8 weeks ago to introduce a guy that wanted to put some money in the club, and whether it be to players or something, and maybe get some sort of a role on the board. And, he was like, he was kind of gobsmacked when we sat down for about 45 minutes. Yeah. And long story short, that guy wasn't interested in putting any money in there after the discussion. Right. So he actually said, like, he was abandoning around figures and saying, is James Tedesco worth 10 times the value of a Michael Gordon if we hypothetically got a Michael Gordon? And then we would, we were talking about other players, and obviously Josh Reynolds was, on his mind, because he knew he was losing these players. They were gone. They were never coming back. And he said, we can get Josh Reynolds. He's going to cost just under 800K. And I'm thinking at the time, I actually looked around at all the Sydney teams. Every Sydney team had a reasonably good 5'8". They weren't looking, he wasn't even in demand. So it's like going to an auction and paying double the price for a house that no one wants. You don't do that. Josh was a great player in Origin. His energy and his enthusiasm and everything was great. But, you look at the side Canterbury had. They had great forwards. They had great outside backs. And Embiid and Reynolds were the halves. And they couldn't create. They just couldn't. They had no attack. So I thought, what are we getting Reynolds for? And then why are we paying, even if he's an ex-Origin player, surely he's probably, at best worth 300-ish. And Justin told me, they paid just under, with his all his extras, it's just under 800K. And it's why? That's 450K. And then, when you get bargain buys, and you go through the years of the bargain basement buys we've had, Martin Tapau, guys like that, we, got him out of reserve grade at Canterbury. What a great buy. And then when we've got to up their value, we can't compete because we've already overpaid. And it's just going to be a vicious cycle like this all the time, Josh. It's really frustrating. It's just common business. We, we always bag, our retention and recruitment. We've actually made some really good cheap buys. But then we can't upgrade those guys if they're good. Mm. So how do you get around it? Look at McQueen. Everyone knew McQueen had a bad back. It was common knowledge. He wanted a three-year deal with the Gold Coast, and they only offered him 2 years. And then somehow we paid him 1.4 for 3 years. It's ridiculous. He's hardly started a game. He's probably started less than five games and been on the bench a few times in 3 years. Now, what could we do with 470K a year?
Yeah. Well, it's not a lot. 470K, it's turning a 500K signing into
close to $1 million superstar.
That's what I mean. I mean, look what they're all getting. So I just feel like we can't win. We had to do what Newcastle did and basically suffer for a few years and, you know, let the juniors cop it. And, you know, if we have to sit a couple of hundred K under the cap or whatever, so be it. And then when times are good, or if you, like, for example, now imagine Bloor, who for some reason's dropped this week. Imagine Bloor turns out to be a superstar. How do we keep him?
I think there's a good chance of that. I rate Bloor.
What he did against Parra was just exciting. Like, it was so good to have a bit of an enforcer there, and he was enjoying it, and he had a bit of attitude, but, like, it was just a good sort of cockiness. It wasn't too arrogant. And I just thought, you know, most guys, you know, they just crap their pants when they're playing their first game. He just couldn't wait. And, you know, he hasn't played Reggie's or anything, because we've got none at the moment with COVID.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, like, and I see someone like him and I think, imagine he becomes like a David Fifita, which I'm not saying he will, but, and then you've got to, you know, put him going from 150K to 600K. How do we up that contract when we don't have the money?
I guess it's lucky that at this stage, he's off contract at the end of 2022. So Reynolds has got one more year. Packer's got one more year. So
McQueen's done this year, I believe.
McQueen's done this year. Jennings has done this year. So there's a bit of wiggle room incoming. So fingers crossed. We do learn from our mistakes, as you said.
Yeah, but I don't think we have, and that's the thing. I'm very sceptical, but I believe that those signings were made to save face because, you know, we did lose Tedesco, we did lose Woods, we did lose Moses. Not that some care about Woods or whatever, but the point was they were just, oh, but look at this guy and look at that guy, and they tried to deflect, and I'm like, you just can't knee-jerk. Like, we're better off not spending that money at all because what's it done for us? Mm. I mean, you know, I actually think ninth has been brilliant the last 2 years. Like, maybe I'm a bit of a negative Nancy sometimes, but I honestly thought we were bottom three with our squad the last 2 years. You know, and obviously, like, I've still got a little bit of sentiment, you know, towards, you know, the legends of our club. Thank God Robbie came back. Like, and what Benji produced last year, obviously, like, last week wasn't a good example of what Benji can do. But, you know, those guys are on, like, 200K each. And they perform like 600-700K each last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was always worried, like, how are we going to replace Robbie? And, like, you know, thank God we got the kid from Melbourne. Like, he's been amazing. Mm. And we saw what a team's like without a Robbie, you know, or without this, you know, like, we call him a signing. He's not a signing. He's a Melbourne player. Like, it's really frustrating. Like, Harry Grant's brilliant, and he'd slot into any team the way he plays. And I don't know if Harry's that good because he's just Harry Grant, or if it's because he's come through that Melbourne Storm system.
Yeah. You know, because
it is a little bit of both. Like, you just see all those Rooster players and Storm players, they just keep producing. Like, some of the names the Roosters have produced this year in the forward pack, like, you think, geez, where do they produce them from? Like, they're so good. They'd walk into any first-grade team and they're playing number 16, 17, or, you know, they're even left out of the squad.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand, if the salary cap's a level playing field, why are we just always shooting ourselves in the foot? And it goes back 5 years. Like, we got out of all the Stephen Humphreys back-ended contracts, you know, even Robbie's back-ended contract and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, we let the coach go carte blanche and do what he wanted. And, you know, he signed Ballon off a knee reconstruction who didn't even play a game or two. And I just think that's a couple of hundred grand we could have used somewhere else. And it all adds up. It's really frustrating. And I just don't know if our board really have the passion or really care so much, because they're just like, they're in a bubble. You know, this is, I'm really opinionated about it. Like, I just don't think they get it. They think they're doing a great job, and they might be good at getting sponsors and all that sort of stuff, but in terms of rugby league nous, they have no clue. And I'm hoping that this Adam guy that they got from the Roosters, obviously the Roosters have done well. Like, we've got to give him a chance. Like, we don't know what's going on. But, you know, when I see, and, you know, it's Madge's team, so we've got to trust what Madge does. But, you know, it defies logic to me how Corey Thompson, who epitomises everything that Madge wants in a player, heart, commitment, how he trains, his personality, he doesn't make our best 17. Are you kidding me? I kind of got a bit heartbroken a few years ago the way we treated Robbie and all that. So I kind of just, you know, I didn't even sign membership. Like, I was really frustrated. I haven't been a member for 2 years.
Yeah, right.
But the worst part for me is, like, just when I see my youngest who just lives and breathes it, and when I see how frustrated, like, he said to me, not last week, but after the New Zealand game, he goes, Dad, he goes, I'm only 22. He goes, I honestly don't know when we're going to make the finals again.
Mm.
And, you know, because he kind of thinks, you know, next year, it's going to happen, but it's never going to happen if we keep making the same mistakes. So, in my opinion, we just have to learn from the past and just, you know, stop saying it's in the past, like, learn from it. Don't make the same mistakes. And if the same people are there, they're going to make the same mistakes. And like I say, look, Justin Pascoe is a really nice guy. Like, he's actually he's very, you know, very personable. He's really friendly. And, you know, like, I've basically shat on him on Twitter because I love my club. You know, like, I want my team to be successful. We all want our team to be successful. And, you know, call me biased, but we are the most passionate fan base. Like, if you go back to the three final series that we made, we packed the grounds. The only ground that wasn't packed was the North Queensland first semi-final.
Yeah, it surprises me that I guess it's because we haven't been successful. Our membership is so far behind Parramatta's because there's heaps of us out there. We've all come across other West Tigers fans out and about everywhere that you've never met before, and you have this instant bond of suffering. Through suffering, I guess.
Yes.
There's heaps of us out there. So we're definitely one of the highest supported clubs. And I guess that's why we're making a profit business wise, despite not being very good. But
But how long is that sustainable, Josh?
Yeah,
that's like, what how I was how about long is it sustainable? Yeah. And like I say, I know we've got a bandy to the, you know, the Balmain faction and the Magpie faction and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, the zillion home grounds that we have doesn't suit. I mean, you know, I know things are never going to be like the past, but, you know, we look forward to having, you know, back in the day, season tickets, going to every home game every second week on a Sunday. I mean, the whole fabric of the game's changed now. Like, there's footy, you know, basically four nights a week.
Yeah, it's all TV now.
It's all TV. But as you know, like, from watching TV, like, if there's no atmosphere, it's kind of not the same. Like, without those sort of crowd effects, you know, they've kind of helped a little bit. And obviously now we're getting some crowds back to the game. It does make it a little bit more enjoyable. But,
Geez,
it's not, you know, it's just like last weekend, just I don't know where that came from. That's just really, that was just so out of character for what we'd shown, even with our, I always thought we'd have a lot of respectable losses because Madge is that sort of bloke. Like, he gets the best out of players.
Yeah.
But they looked like a team last week that didn't want to be there.
We hadn't lost 13 plus since the restart. So we'd lost a lot of games, but we'd been in the fight for most of the games.
We've been in the fight.
We let the South game get away a bit. We kind of fought back a little bit.
But that South game, Josh, we got a penalty after the halftime siren, our first penalty for the game. Like, we don't really get much of a rub.
No.
You know, from the refs. I mean, that's, you know, you look at all the repeat sets and what have you. Like, look, we were always going to lose, for example, against Newcastle. Like, that was just gone. But that try to Saifidi just before halftime, like, that was a clear double movement, and it might have just to be within, like, say, two converted tries, or, you know, it would have been 14 points. You know, it just gives you a bit of hope, but that just knocked the wind out of them.
Yeah, and so obviously, four tries is just deflating. If it was a three tries, you score right after half time, you're in that strike zone, and yeah, you're right. We're going as soon as that happened, I thought it's game over. So if that had been given no try, they could have gone in half time and thought, well, we played probably the worst half of football, but we're still in this. But
And we've got guys, you know, we've got Luciano, you know, you've got Benji that can put guys through holes. Like, there's enough talent there to, you know, to at least be competitive. But, you know, the problem for us, or what I feel for us, is we always have to be at our best, and we can't have anything go against us in terms of officiating.
That's why it frustrates
us. To win. It frustrates the hell out of us. And you know, like, look how easily we click on, you know, Twitter and Facebook. Like, we're the most passionate fan base. As soon as someone says something about the West Tigers, it just goes mental. Mm-hmm. And it's actually funny, but I kind of love it too, because it just shows how much we all love the team. But, you know, I think it just gets to the point. Like, I get frustrated with, like, I wish I could be like this, but, I, you know, there's a lot of fans out there that just trust everything the club do. Like they just wave their flag and their pom-poms and they're just, you know, oh, Pasco's great. And even back in the day, Marina goes great and everyone's great and the coach is great. And they just don't think sometimes. And, you know, we've, you know, as a fan base, we've just got to ask a lot more questions. Like every time we're winning, you know, we get talk from the club, you know, in terms of like, you know, the leaders like Pasco and that. As soon as we get into a few losses, when are you going to hear from Pasco again? He just goes back into his shell. You know, we need some leadership, and we just don't. I don't think we've got it on the top, and I think that's a reflection of our results. Our results just, you know, don't cut it. And like I say, I don't even know how we've come ninth. Like, we've come so close every year. I think it's actually an act of God. And I think we would have made the finals if Robbie didn't get injured last year. You know, we were on a big role there.
He was massive for us last year. And
that was a winnable game, Canterbury. Like, we were cruising halfway through the first half. And, you know, I think we lost Moses Mbai really early in the game as well. So we were down two players. And, you know, if it wasn't for a shanked conversion attempt, that's another thing. Geez, we can't kick a goal.
Need a goal kicker,
yeah. We need a goal kicker. Like, there was an article today on Twitter about, you know, the percentages and how much, you know, you have to have a goal kicker and turn those fours into sixes.
Yeah.
And you know, we've suffered from that. Like, you know, poor Masters last year, if he kicked some of his goals, we make the eight.
Yeah.
You know, so look, it's just, like I say, they say it's a game and all that sort of stuff, and it is a game. But, geez, I can't speak for, you know, everyone else. But, like, most of us, you know, plan our weekends around when our team's playing, you know, and you know, we want to be successful, and we don't want to be, you know, we'd love to be successful every year, but, geez, every few years is okay. You know what I mean? I have to win a comp. Just make the finals. Like, what is it now? Nine years
in a
row.
I'd be happy with eight. I said at the start of the year, if we make eight, I'll be stoked.
Yeah, it would have been great. But, you know, I guess if we want to be real, we just don't want to make the finals and get smashed in the first week. We want to be competitive. And I just think the answer comes back to, you know, football knowledge and just getting that salary right. You've got to spend your money properly. And if there's no one out there, like, we're going to need a 5'8 if Benji retires. Do we just snap up the first 5'8 that's available? Like, that's what's going to happen. We're going to snap up the first bloke that's available because that's how we act. It's like
Kieran Thorburn or someone.
Or whatever. Or we might even sign a 34-year-old Blake Green. Who knows? Like, you know, there was talk about getting, who was the Raiders guy? Aiden Caesar. Yeah. And I was just cringing. I'm like, God, the guy can't tackle. Like, he can kick. He can actually goal kick a bit too if you know, he used to back in the day at the Titans. But, you know, we've got to just, if there's no one premium out there, just don't buy anyone.
Yeah.
Play someone there. And, you know, we bought Moses Mbai on a massive deal for 3.5 years. He'd only played 10 games at fullback. Now, he can do some really nice things with the ball, but he can't catch a bomb. Like, he can't catch an uncontested bomb.
Well, that's why he's in the centres.
Yeah, but why do you pay 700 grand for someone off 10 games? And he couldn't, he's just like, he's never been successful as a half. He's never been successful as a nine. He's actually played a few really good games at centre, which just shocked me because he's not a big guy.
Yeah.
But and as a fullback, he's got like the passing game and the running game, but he can't catch a bomb. And, you know, poor old Adam, like I like Adam. Adam Dwayhe is a good guy. And, you know, obviously I'm a little bit, you know, biased because he's got Lebanese heritage.
Yeah.
You know, that's my background as well. Now, Adam's as safe as a bank under the high ball. I think he had maybe one bad game against Parramatta under the high ball. And I don't think he's missed a catch all year. But, you know, some of the tackling, and he's just been out of position so much. And, you know, he's a little bit slow for a fullback. Like, I think he'd probably make a decent 5'8 with not much pace or a centre. But, you know, so we've bought two blokes to play fullback on fullback's money. And I think Moses Mbai is basically, if he's not the most expensive centre in the game, he'd be the second most. If you think about it, who's on, say, 700K a year that plays centre?
Yeah.
No. I don't think any of the Roosters guys are. The Storm guys aren't.
Yeah. I mean, the Roosters probably have the best centre.
Manu,
and he's playing on 300, 400 at this stage. But
that's what I mean. So we've got a guy, we've paid top dollar for someone who's not even playing the position he's got. And then moving forward, let's just say the Dwayhe experiment fails, you know, halfway into next year. Then we move him into another position. We've got two blokes that we bought on top dollar as fullback that didn't cut it as fullback. I mean, we just can't knee-jerk buy. We've just got to, like, because Adam was the only guy available. I believe we're after Johnston from the same club. Yeah. We couldn't snag him. And you look at all the guys we've tried to buy the last few years. We tried to buy Connor Watson. We've tried to buy AJ Brimson. There's been talks of all these guys. We just don't seem – and, you know, why would anyone want to come to our club when we've gone through so many coaches in so many years? So whether you like Madge or not, and I can tell you now, Madge, I've had the pleasure of speaking to him a few times. He's a champion guy. He is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Obviously, you know, as a fan, you always disagree sometimes tactically about, you know, like, why has he picked Lawrence ahead of Bloor, for example, this week? You know, like, that's just us talking. We're not in the inner sanctum. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a great guy and we need stability. And I think, you know, if all the talk out of the Tigers is positive, even if we're not in the top eight, then we can attract players. Because what we showed against Parramatta the other week, that was one of the best losses I've ever seen a Tigers team do. And it was really encouraging. I thought, you know what? We would have got flogged by 30 or 40. We had no ball, no penalties, losing men left, right and centre. And we tackled our guts out. It was just such a gutsy effort. And then the New Zealand loss, we had no excuse. Like, I couldn't blame a ref decision. I couldn't blame anything. Like, we just switched off and we pretty much played five hit-ups and a bomb for the middle 50 minutes of the game, and then we only threw it around the last 10 minutes when we were down by 12 points. So I think maybe that was just a – we just thought, oh, you know what, we're up 8-0. We're going to go through the motions. And by the way, that 8-0 should have been 12-0. This is what I'm saying about goal kicking. Yeah. They're not hard kicks, you know. And,
well, one of them definitely wasn't. One of them was a gimme.
And that's the other thing, like, Josh, that I do get intrigued with as a coach. Like, if Madge is, like, say, for example, given Mbai the goal-kicking duties for the week, do you just sack yourself after one kick? Like, don't you have to miss two or three kicks before you sack yourself?
Yeah.
I don't get why he gave up the kicking straight away. Like, he went from Mbai to Dwayhe to Benji back to Mbai on the wrong side of the field, and he just nailed it from the sideline. You know, from the left sideline for a left footer on the wrong side, and didn't even basically take a run up. He just like went back and just kicked it. And I don't know. It just sort of, you know, you start thinking, what's going on? Is there a plan there? Why didn't we stick with one goal kicker? Like, is it rocket science to put, say, Benji kicking from the left hand side of the field and Mbai from the right hand side of the field?
I was just seeing that too, maybe, or Dwayhe, left and Moses right.
Moses seems to struggle from the left generally, except for that sideline kick. Moses doesn't make many from the left-hand side. And just naturally, kickers prefer to, you know, kick from the opposite side.
Back in, yeah,
exactly. So I don't know. Like I say, we're not there at training. We don't see what they do. They could be preparing really, really well. You know, as far as I'm concerned, all I want to see is the effort, you know, over 80 minutes every week. And and we want to have hope, Josh. If we don't have hope, that's when it just gets, you know, and you try and be like I say, I can only speak for myself, you know, and my wife and my kids who watch the game. And like, we sit there and as Tigers fans, you know, we're, you know, the Tigers philosophy is you just never give up. You know, you go to the final siren and there's always a chance. And then your rugby league brain kicks in and you just think, we're no hope. You know, we can't make that. You look at the team, you look at, say, like we're playing the Roosters next week. And after what we did last week, how are we even going to get within 18 points? And I'm being polite. And that's what I don't like. That goes back to the late 90s when we were Balmain Tigers and West Magpies. And you knew if you played the Broncos, it was just keep it respectable. You know, there was just never a hope of being in the game. And I thought those days were gone after 2005, you know, like it was just that just came out of nowhere.
2010, 2011. As well, Tim Sheens,
Tim Sheens was, you know, he was like a, you know, he was ahead of his time, really, and what he did without, like, allegedly, we played the style we did in 2005 because we were too small, so we figured we just had to throw the ball around, and everyone, you know, like Bags, you know, we were pretty and we weren't tough and whatever. You look how many points we leaked in those finals. We didn't really leak many points.
Yeah.
Like, we played an attractive style, but I remember we just tackled the hell out of Brisbane in the first half of that semi-final of the second week, where the Brisbane should have been up by 12 or 18, and we just were desperate, kept hanging on, and, you know, then Benji took an intercept, and so we you know, even though we had a lot of flair, you know, we had a lot of grit too. Like, we kept Saints to 12 points in a preliminary final, and they were like, them and Parra were the best teams that year. And 2010, you know, That's one that got away. We probably should have won that. We copped a bad decision that cost us a game against New Zealand in 2011 from, you know, getting into a preliminary final against Melbourne. So, we went on great runs those year. Like, I think we won 9 in a row.
Yeah.
I think in 2011.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had that game shot to bits too, and, yeah, just kind of choked at the end. But, no, look, the one thing about the Tigers, even in those years where we, between 2005 and 2010, is we played an attractive style of football.
Yeah, we did.
We were good to watch. We were always a hope of winning. Didn't matter what the scoreboard said. If we were down by 18, we knew we could come back. You know, I guess those days will be gone soon. Like, as soon as Benji retires, I'll probably think we can't come back from 12 or 18 down. But, you know, so I don't know. Just I didn't like how Benji looked the other night. He just didn't have his game face on.
No, it's time for Benji. So
Do you think his confidence got shattered by getting dropped? Like, he was playing pretty well. I mean, he got a few Dally M points, and he was setting up tries, and he might have kicked the winning field goal against the Gold Coast if we didn't get a dodgy call from the kickoff. Yeah. And he might not have got dropped. I don't know. I don't know. Like, even though Benji's defense was just outrageously bad the other night, he's the one guy that can create.
He can make other players
around him look good. And that's what I don't see in Brooksy. That's what I don't see in Reynolds. So we have to find someone that can create. And, you know, we don't have a ball player.
Yeah.
We just don't have that. And I don't know who's available. Like, I don't know who's going to come onto the market that's available. Or, you know, if there's someone good in the halves, they're generally snapped up. So it will be the end of an era.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my next question I'm going to ask. Is there anyone you think we should go after, be it next year or the year after?
I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. Like, for next year, I don't think there's anyone available that, you know, sticks out. I'd be hoping that, you know, someone can come through the juniors that,
yep,
you know, we can sort of find something for. More importantly, I kind of think, what are we doing with Brooksy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had so many years now, and, you know,
his inconsistency has been his thing.
Look, I mean, when he first started, it was his defense, and his defense is amazing. Like, he's really become a good tackler. But I just, you know, when, like, you hear Madge say, I want you to run more, like, it just seems like every time Brooksy gets the ball, he does run. I just think he should be playing what's in front of him. Like, yeah, if the pass is on, pass it. If it's there to run, run. If you want to put a grubber kick in, grubber it. Like, he just puts that same bomb up every time. And I don't know, I just think he's kind of had his natural flair coached out of him by the coach that I can't stand, that doesn't coach anyone anymore. So, and I don't know if he's ever come back from that. I think he picked up a little bit with Cleary. And yeah, he definitely had a good year last year with Madge. But I don't know if all this chopping and changing is, like, I get what Madge is trying to do, and you can't knock it. But, you know, at the same time, you've got to understand, it's got to, like, if you and me got dropped every second week, it can't help our confidence.
Yeah, it's a weird one. But, like you said, we don't know what goes on.
No, we don't know.
I thought Brooks coming off the bench was never going to work, because as soon as he came on, he'd basically go, okay, I've got 15 minutes to either...
to do something.
Yeah, to do something. I've got to do something really impressive to win my jersey back. And it was just never going to work.
Well, let's see how Liddell goes this week. Like, you know, Liddell's, you know, a pretty exciting player. His biggest issue has always been his size. Like, can he cope with the rigors of first grade? But, you know, I don't know if many people have spoken about this, but, you know, what about Brooksy at hooker? Like, as a dummy half, because his tackling is amazing. He'll know when to dart and when not to dart. Mm-hmm. He's got a good, you know, he's got a left-footed kicking game, you know, a la Robbie. So
yeah,
I don't think that'd be the worst option myself. Like, Moses, Mbai is okay in terms of, you know, generally in terms of, like, being a dummy half and picking up the ball and passing it and steering the ship. But defensively, like, he couldn't cut it last week.
No.
Where I think Brooksy can cut that. But
I was actually going to suggest that to you. You must have telepathically heard me say it. Yeah. Do you think Brooksy could be a nine?
I definitely think he could be a 9, 100%. And that might be where his future lies. But I don't know if Brooksy wants to be a 9. Or if he sees himself as a 9, or if he feel like that's almost getting relegated. You know, it's an interesting one. Like I say, like we've said a few times, we don't know what goes on there. And, you know, like, you know, we've been following each other on Twitter for ages, and, you know, we all have our opinions and say different things, but it's just really frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, that the, like, generally our season ends around August anyway, not, but you wouldn't think so in this kind of COVID comp where the comp's going to finish much later.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just sad. Not like I'm holding no hope. I think maybe 2 to 3 games at best we win for the rest of the year. Like, and I'm being pretty generous.
Yeah.
I hope we beat the Bulldogs. I think this will see if they're really, you know, behind the coach or not. Because really last week's effort just said we're not interested. And that's the scary part. I don't know where we got that performance from after what we did against Parra 2 weeks earlier. Like, I thought maybe we're a bit flat against New Zealand. Like, we had a long break. We had an 8-day break. So I thought maybe that was just a little bit flat. The SCG is a bit of a weird ground to play on for some people if they haven't played there before.
Yeah.
But there's just no excuses to, you know, look who Newcastle had out. They had both their centres out from the week before. They had basically their fourth choice hooker in Kurt Mann. They had a 5-8 that joined the club 3 days earlier. Yeah. I mean,
I thought we were a chance too.
I thought we fielded a strong team. And Daniel Saifidi was out as well. You know, and there's probably others that I haven't even thought of. Like, it's just, you wouldn't expect we'd lose by 40 points. I mean, I know, you know, I think, I don't know if you're a Ponga fan or not. I'm a massive Ponga fan.
Oh, I think he's a fantastic footballer. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's great. He could be anything. I mean, yeah, we haven't really seen the best of him yet, but we're seeing glimpses of it. You think if he gets hot, he could do that, but geez, not by 40. Not by 40, not the way we've been playing. What do you think of Luke Garner being dropped, Josh?
Yeah, I'm a big Garner guy.
I'm a massive Garner fan.
Yeah,
he's back this week. But I mean, what do you think about the in and out sort of stuff? Like, that's a bit sort of, you know.
Yeah,
that's kind of knocked me about.
He was standing behind Madge with Josh Reynolds, in the box the other night. I noticed on the TV. So I'm wondering if Madge just wanted to have him stand over his shoulder and kind of explain a few things, or is it is it a body keeping his body healthy? Is it kind of giving some guys minutes that are fresh?
That's hard to work out. I really can't. I just think, you know, like, I look at Luciano and look at him like a Garner, and I think, wow, we've got a really good bit of strike there in the second row. And generally we've got Twalsy as a workhorse, although I think Twalsy as great, like, he hardly misses a tackle. I think Twalsy's more suited to prop than a 13.
I don't think
he's a 13. He's not a ball player.
Yeah, he doesn't offer much with the ball, yeah.
He doesn't offer much with the ball. He really should be, you know, one of our props. But, like, it'd be great if you could, you know, get an interview with Madge, mate, and pick his brain and see how he thinks and what goes on. But I got lucky enough to get in the dressing room a couple of times last year, in particular after Robbie's 300th, mate. And if you just hear how emotional Madge is and his sense of loyalty and how much he wants to win and the respect he has for people, like, even, you know, the players' parents and family, and, you know, he's just a really good guy. Like, you can't not like him.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely, like, as Tigers fans, or in my case, if I think he's doing something wrong, I'm going to call him out or just say something about it or say I disagree. Like, you know, I'm not a yes man. You know, like, if you think he's doing something wrong, you say something.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, Justin's a really good guy, but, like, football-wise, I can't stand him. You know, he's got an AFL background.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's an AFL guy. So I find it hard to believe that football decisions – he'd have that much to do with. I would be under the assumption that he leaves that to A, Madge, and B, Hardigan. And the whole the bad signing things, was it Pasco or was it
I think it was Taylor originally, Josh. And I think where they gave the coach carte blanche, as most clubs do, and I think it ended for Taylor when he signed Ballon. As soon as they realised you've signed a guy that has no knees, they took that off him, and then everything had to get approved by the board. But, like I say, I just feel like, was it job preservation that they just went out willy-nilly and signed Chris McQueen, who hardly played for us? You look at Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds hardly played for us the first 2 years. And when Benji was firing all of, you know, first half of last year, Josh Reynolds couldn't get a look in. So between Packer, Reynolds, you know, McQueen. And then if you go back to Madalino, who was with us, we had like, you know, over $2.5 million in reserve grade, and somehow we finished ninth.
Yeah,
it's bloody amazing. Like, it's actually, you think to yourself, geez, if you guys use the cap properly, where would we finish?
Yeah.
And that's what's frustrating. And I'm like, and I'm like, please don't, like, you know, if, you know, Josh, you become on the market next year as 5'8", please don't pay him $700,000 when he's worth $300,000. Just don't spend your money. Like, if you can't get anyone, don't get anyone.
Yeah. So
you just play anyone there. We just can't, you know, someone will come on the market. And I think we've just, you know, what I liked about what Madge has been doing is we've been playing till last week. We've been playing a lot tougher. So I think if you're a player from another club, you'd say, hang on, you know what, these guys are going places. Like, you know, they put up a really good show against Parra, and you know, if they got a bit of luck and they had a bit more spark, they probably could have won.
Yeah,
so Penrith. Oh, well, the Penrith game was a huge turning point. Geez, we had penalties given against us that weren't penalties. Like, we got, remember the forced dropout in the first half? Our players were 2 meters onside, and you know, I'm not being sexist, but Lady Blondie puts her flag up and says we're offside, and then they go down the other end and score. And I'm like, what are you looking at? Like, I can understand if you miss a call. I can't accept when you make up a call. It's kind of like, you know, if you see a forward pass and it doesn't get called, you think, oh, well, you know, they just missed it, bad luck. But when a pass goes backwards and they call it forward, like that just really does my head in. And that was kind of similar in that instance. And I actually thought we weren't. I thought like it was a 50-50 game when we played Penrith. You know, if we played them this week, we'd be getting 23.5 start. You know, they've just gone on in leaps and bounds, and we've gone backwards. And I don't know what the answer is. And imagine how Madge feels. Like, that's the hard part.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. It was just a big shock last week. I feel like was it a lack of heart, or was it just, I felt like, a lot of errors that just led to them putting their heads down. Like, they just kept dropping the ball. That was the big thing. And dropping the ball, I don't think, comes down to necessarily being ramped up and ready. It's hard to explain. It's not an effort thing. They're footballers. They should be catching a football in their sleep.
Yeah, look, I probably wrongly bagged our new winger, you know, on Saturday night, you know, because he dropped basically four bombs, and they scored off two of them, and three of the bombs weren't contested. And, you know, it's just the cynic in me that just says, you know, you're a first-grade footballer. I don't care if it's raining or not. Like, we don't play rugby league indoors. You're going to expect rain from time to time or dew. Like, most of the games are played at night. You should be catching those bombs. And, you know, let me say, like, they're, you know, I see some of the tackles that go on in all these first grade games, and all the players are so courageous. So it's easy to sit from your lounge room and bag, but you've got to be a realist. Like, if you're a winger, you've got to catch bombs. It's just, you know, you've got to catch contested bombs, let alone the ones that aren't contested. And that's always been the problem with Mbai, and, you know, as a fullback. And that was a problem with him. And that's, you know, like, Adam's great under the high ball, but like, did we really pay that sort of money because a bloke can catch a bomb? Like, that's just a prerequisite of being a fullback, you know? So I don't know, man, it's just really frustrating. It's another year gone. And realistically, I think next year's gone as well. I feel like 22 is our best chance, but it's not going to happen if we do the same mistake. So I'm praying we don't get some guy who's 28 to 30, who's injured half the time, that's had a great career previously, and we sign him up and he's a dud, because that's what we've done, and we keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And it'll never end, Josh. Like I said, I'm being a bit repetitive, but you keep paying overs, then when you find the good ones, you don't have the money to save them. Just pay the player what they're worth. And if they don't want to come, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, there's only 16 NRL teams, and there's only 9 in Sydney. You want to play in Sydney. You know, and we've got to respect. So I will say something, like, and I don't think Justin would mind me saying, because I'm not going to say much of the stuff we've said privately, because we've spoken for hours. Like, I've probably met Justin 4 or 5 times. We've had lengthy meetings, you know, a few over Robbie Farah, and a few over the direction of the club and all that sort of stuff. And where actually things sort of came to an end was I actually took up with Justin when Justin said, you know, we have to pay overs because we're the West Tigers. I took exception to that, and I said, mate, you're selling our club short by doing that. I said, you know, don't devalue what, you know, wearing a West Tigers jersey means. And then he sent me an email back, you know, because we'd had the meeting, and then he sent me an email back 3 days later saying, I take exception, you know, to what you said, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember the last ever email I sent to him, I said, mate, you can lose Woods, you can lose Moses, you can lose whoever you want. I said, don't lose a once-in-a-lifetime player. And, you know, that was my last email. I could even show it to you. I said, do not lose Tedesco. Whatever you do, do not. But, you know, everyone bags Teddy, but, you know, geez, he left the club and won 2 premierships in 2 years.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been a bad career move, has it?
Well, I'll leave with one last question.
Sure.
Can we get Tedesco back?
No chance.
Can I? So my dream will never come true. We can't.
Your dream will never come true. I can't imagine why he would want to come back.
Money? What if we throw? What if we just give him 1.4 per year for 5 years? Give him $7 million for five.
I don't know the exact figure, Josh, but I'm told reliably that, and this is from Justin, I think what his official price is with the Roosters, we offered him double. So that's how much he's getting in third parties from the Roosters. We offered him a massive amount of money. But the problem I have with Pasco is we spoke 6 months earlier and I said to him, mate, you've got to hang on to these guys. You know, other clubs are going to come after him. And I kid you not, word for word, he said to me, Rob, they love each other. They're never leaving the club. And I thought, how naive. You know, if we got on the front foot and identified what great players we had and look what they're doing in other clubs, or at least two of them are doing well. Like, I'm not a fan of Mitch Moses, but he's playing well. Yeah. Okay. And Teddy's a once-in-a-lifetime player. And we could have snapped those guys off up if we got on the front foot. And we never got on the front foot. And that's really frustrating. You know, to see Tedesco with the Roosters, like, you know, like 2018, I just wanted to vomit every time I saw him. Yeah. Like, I just hated seeing him.
Every time I watch him, it kills me. It kills me.
But, like, you know, you're a human being. You think, good on him. Like, you know, look at the injuries he had. Like, he had two major injuries and he came back from it. And, you know, if you don't, you know, want him to do well, obviously we don't want him to do well against us. But if you don't wish him well, I think you're just you're not a decent human being, to be honest. You know, like I love players. Like if you fall in love with a player, like, you know, for example, like, okay, we obviously, you know, Brian Madison brings up a bit of, you know, conjecture amongst the West Tigers fans. Like he played his ass off last year. He was one of our best players.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets bagged to the shit house because, you know, he had a manager that, you know, basically was in his head and got him to go elsewhere. But why did we let him go? Why does every other club take the hard option? But we take the soft option. If someone wants to leave, we let them go. Even if they're contracted or not, we let them go early. We let Moses go early. You know, we let Madison go. He had a contract for another couple of years. Why can't we put our foot down and say, mate, play reserve grade? What's the difference? We've had McQueen in reserve grade for 3 years.
Yeah.
We had Reynolds in it for half a year. Why can't we make a stand? Why don't we say, you know, your contract's your word. We're the West Tigers. You don't screw with us. This is what we don't have strong management, mate. And we're a reflection of that management. And, you know, if Pasco doesn't like it and all the other guys don't like it, I don't give a stuff. Like, we've got the weatherman there. What does Mike Bailey ever do? What does he ever say? Is he just like, you know, the big smiling face at Luna Park? What's he do for the club? You know, what do we want to be? Do we want to be successful or we just want to be just a charity club? We get the guys that come that finish their careers there. We're just a feeder club. And the perfect example of being a feeder club is we're developing Harry Grant and we're going to lose him next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we're just supposed to cop it up the Khyber Pass and just say, don't worry, it's the West Tigers. We'll find someone else. Tomorrow's going to be better. Next year will be better. I'm sick of that attitude. Do something about it. Don't be able to sleep like some of us fans do. Be upset. They're just in their bubble at Concord, mate. They got no idea. They just need to get out of there. They need some guys with brains and some business nous and just get this place rocking and rolling and fill the grounds up. When the Tigers are going well, mate, we all go to games.
Yeah.
It's not just a TV game. Like, you know, when it was a TV game in 2010 and 2011, we got 75,000 at a preliminary final with St George and the Tigers.
Yeah, I was there.
You know, Saints hardly bag a crowd at Wollongong and we hardly get a crowd now anywhere. You know, we sold our home grounds out. We've signed up with Bank West. I mean, I won't go there out of principle. I just refused to go to Bankwest Stadium. I got invited for the Parramatta game. There's just no one direction. We're just getting pulled apart in every different way. And, you know, someone's got it. We need like a Volandis, but at the Tigers, you know, just someone that's a bit of a domineering sort of, you know, voice and just give us some direction. This is how we're going to do it, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, who knows, mate? Too. What's that? Sorry?
Some cash would be good too.
Oh, no, the cash would be good, but spend it wisely, mate. We've got the cash. Everyone else has got a cap. We've got sponsors. We've got good people behind us. And my uncle's one of the sponsors now. You see his name behind Madge every week, D-Mar Stone.
Okay.
And they're going to be the sleeve sponsors next year. So, you know, like I say, we want to see our team do well. But like I say, I'm getting a bit older. And it does bother me, but not as much as it used to. But just when I see my youngest say things like, you know, am I going to see a semi-final ever? Like, it just burns me. And I just think, you know, if the board had some of the passion that, you know, our fans do, we'd get results. But, you know, it's year after year after year since 2011. So, and even after, you know, who wins a premiership and doesn't make the finals for 5 years?
Yeah.
So there's something wrong there, mate. There's just something wrong. And, you know, like I say, I don't know the answers, but I know the frustration. That's all I can tell you.
Well, Rob, you've come out swinging, and I thank you for it, because I think there'll be a lot of people nodding along to this episode.
Some will and some won't, mate.
So everyone's entitled to their opinion. There's plenty of things that you said that, I maybe not disagree, but I can't put my hand up and say, no, I agree, because we don't know
but,
what's
but,
going
but we should so. But we should be having discussions about this, Josh. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. As a fan base, we should be discussing these things and saying, like, what should we be doing? What you love Leichhardt, I love Leichhardt.
Mm.
I think our home base should be at Campbelltown. I think Campbelltown should be redeveloped. MacArthur area is one of the biggest areas going around. Look at all the great talent that's come out of there that plays for everyone else and even different codes. So, you know, just because I've been a Balmain Tiger as a kid and grown up as a Balmain Tiger, I'm not naive enough to know where the future is. Balmain is an inner city town, like one little suburb, and you've got that whole MacArthur region. So you've got to sort of be smart about how you go about things. I just don't think you can have 3 and 4 and 5 home grounds and take a game to Tamworth and New Zealand and Bankwest and Leichhardt and Campbelltown and,
yeah,
you know,
I'll be happy with Campbelltown 8, Leichhardt 4. I'll be, I mean, I'm a much younger former Balmain fan yourself, but
so you missed out on the 80s, mate. God, that was a good time.
I was born 88, so yeah, I
good year, mate.
I don't remember 88. My family tell me stories about it, but Terry Lambert on the year I was born.
If you've got time, mate, my pinned tweet is about a 15-minute highlight of Ellery Hanley from when he came to the Tigers.
Yeah.
Check it out. You'll love it.
Well, I remember watching Ellery Hanley's second stint. Not quite the same.
Not quite the same at 35. No, exactly right. Good talking to you, mate.
Good talking to you. Ellery Hanley's someone I'd love to have on the show one day.
Thanks. Listen, if you want to get some big fans coming on the show and listening to you, mate, get Pasco and me on the show. Get us both together, mate. Yeah. Get me and him on the show, mate. I'll take him up on everything. I stand by everything I say, and I won't say some of the other stuff that he said, but I'd invite him anytime to have a discussion, mate, because he can't run away from it, mate. He's got to go.
The thing is, that's the kind of content that the club, that Dan and the kind of, they're not going to let a third party, fan with a microphone. that's something the club will want to do themselves.
I know. Well, maybe if they do their job, they don't need a third party fan to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The official club, that's why I kind of started this, because we can say it, but the club's podcast is not going to say it. They're going to be just doing their kind of social media kind of marketing spin on everything. They've got to be positive, and that's totally understandable. But at least us being unofficial, we can say when we're disappointed, rather than poor Dan and the social media team having to post a score for a loss saying, well, that was disappointing, and kind of underplay. I'm sure they'd love to say what they really feel, but
Yeah, well, yeah. I think from a footy point of view, we've got Hardikin there. You know, we've got Madge. We've got to go by with whatever direction they want to go with, whether we agree with it or not. So we've got to give them a chance. But prior to Hardigan's appointment, I think we had massive issues. But I would safely say that, you know, the board above them wouldn't have too much of a say. They'd probably just present what players they want and who they want to keep and whatever and go from there. But I really feel like our only hope is just to, you know, be lucky enough to unearth some promising talent, because I just don't see where we're going to get the talent from. And it's, yeah, like I say, I 100% hope I'm wrong, because all of us want success, or at least be competitive, or at least every fifth year make the finals. you know what I mean? So, and like I jokingly said to someone the other day, I said, I'll be, the next time we make finals, I'll be collecting my superannuation and, you know, going to a home final in Perth, you know, because you just wonder if we're ever going to be successful. If we're not successful, what are we doing? Like, let's just pack up. Let's just pack up and go. And that's why I do take task with people in those spots, mate. If they're not doing the job properly, they're not getting success, fall on your own sword and give someone else a chance. You know, if you're only good at the marketing side and getting sponsors, that's fine. Do that. But get people in there that want a successful footy team, and get some direction going. And like us, I think we have got a little bit of that direction now, to be fair, but I'm just still a bit hurt by some of the decisions of the past. You know, we wasted some good years when we had some good talent there. You know, we had Tedesco, Simone, and Ofaluma, Moses, Brooks, Farah, Marshall, whatever, and we had Jason Taylor doing 5 hit-ups and a bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, those days, thank God those days are gone, but, you know, very, very frustrating, mate. But yeah, we love the Tigers, and hopefully they'll do well, and hopefully they win 8 out of their next 10, not 2 out of their next 10.
Yeah.
And you can ring me back and say, Bashara, you were wrong.
I think we all agree with got that similar sort of we haven't got much hope in the near future, but fingers crossed it gets better.
If it all gets done properly, mate, 22, 23, 24, hopefully things will be better and we get to see semi-finals.